This is the Mixed Coach Podcast, episode 32. We're going to be talking about the most underused button on your console, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Mixed Coach Podcast, the podcast dedicated to making your next recording your best recording.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 32 of the Mixed Coach Podcast. We're going to be, like we said in the tag, we're going to be talking about the most underused button on the console.
Yeah,
that is a great title for this podcast. I wish I could take credit for it, but John is the mastermind behind that.
Yeah,
but
and basically, I mean, it was just I'm talking about, you know, the most underrated button on the console. A lot of people don't use it, but a common theme I've seen among some of, you know, my favorite mixers and the guys that are the best mixers is that they use this button. I'm talking about the mono button.
Mm-hmm.
Man, for the first, I don't know how long, whenever I was first started out, I was I didn't even touch the button, and now I use it every single mix. Mm-hmm. Every single mix I use the mono button. And that's just basically from being around you and you know, some other guys that just use the mono button. Their mixes turn out so great. Can you talk about when do you use the mono button? When do you push it into mono? And then, you know, then back to stereo. Right. So what are you looking for?
I use the mono button the only time I ever use a mono button is when I'm doing something critical to a mix.
So the only time you ever use it is the most important parts of the mix.
Yeah. It's like I only eat in the daytime or the nighttime. No, but it is an underutilized button on the console because, and I mentioned this before, and I hope I'm not being too redundant.
Right.
I thought I'd say that twice. when I say the mono, but I think it's key because, I'll just tell you an example of what happened one time. A friend of mine was just getting into it, and this is before I started Mixed Coach or anything like that. And he went, and he was doing kind of a medium to high profile artist, and so he was doing what we all do. He was going all out,
right?
He was a harmonica player, and he decided that he was going to go and rent two Neve 1081s, two really nice compressors.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why he did two for a harmonica,
yeah,
but stereo, he stereo mic'd a harmonica,
nice,
which was nice, but or could have been nice. But he was talking about that these Neve modules were just so wide that they made everything sound like it was like 10 feet wide in your speakers. And I should have heard a red flag then, but he was talking about how cool that mix was and that he got his harp to sound huge.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it on the radio in a few days, and as it turns out, this radio station was broadcasting in mono.
In mono, yeah.
It was a stereo station, but they were broadcasting in mono, which is something you should always keep in mind. People don't always listen on great speakers and in stereo. They listen in mono a lot of times. And if you think about it, where we're sitting in the room, we're sitting close to my console. But if I were to go back over to where I listen to some of my mixes, the culmination of all these waveforms that are coming out of the speakers, they round that corner, they go through my lounge, and they go up my stairs. And by the time they're up my stairs where I listen to them, it's mono. It's a big mono signal.
Yeah.
So it's really important that you listen to it like that. But anyway, going back to my story, all I heard, I thought, okay, this is the song that my buddy did, and he's such a great harmonica sound, and his harmonica solo came up, and it was nothing but reverb.
Wow.
Nothing but reverb. And it made it to the radio.
Yeah.
And what had happened was one of the Neve modules was either wired out of phase or flipped out of phase. Those are old modules that you rent, and you can never tell about those. But when he heard it, he never listened to the stereo. He never listened to the mix in mono. So he just thought that the sound he was getting was a big, wide stereo sound. He thought it was these preamps, and it was. One of them was out of phase, and one speaker. And if just in case the guys don't know about this, and I cover this in every video I do, just about every video that I instructional video. Talks about mixing in mono. The deal is, if you've got two speakers and you've got a low frequency signal,
right,
like a kick drum, a bass guitar, a low singer or something like that, anything that covers anything in the bottom end of the spectrum, The waveforms are close enough together to where they can completely cancel each other out. The reason it's not such a big deal on the high end is because the high end frequencies happen so quickly that you really can't tell that much that they're out of phase because it's happening so fast, and they're quite most likely, you know, doing different things. These are stereo mic things. But the thing about the low end, the why it's most apparent in low end is because if you've got a kick drum and it's a mono signal and you took it and melted it into two tracks and you put one of those tracks out of phase, then and you panned it hard left and the other one hard right, then that means quite literally that one speaker, when he hits the kick drum, it's pushing out on the speaker first. And then on the other side, it means that it's doing the opposite and it's pulling in on the speaker first. You've seen the speaker cones go in and out like that before. Well, literally, that happens pretty fast. But if you were to slow it down, you would literally see one speaker come out and one speaker go in at the exact same time. So when you put it in mono, it doesn't sound wide like it will in a stereo. It'll sound non-existent because the sum, and I know most of you guys probably don't like algebra or geometry or whatever, but what happens is the addition of a positive, which is the kick drum coming out, and the negative, which is the kick drum going in, is zero. So that's what you hear. So that's why I can't emphasize enough how important it is, because sometimes I was mixing a piano, and you came by the other day when I was mixing this piano. I put the piano in mono. It sounded fine in stereo. Sounded a little wide. And so I put it in mono and it got thin, which is a red flag. It means you should listen to this in mono if it gets, I mean, you should check this out. And what we found was that evidently it was mic'd with two microphones, and one mic was a little higher than the other mic. So the delay that caused one side to be not out of phase, just like needed to be phase aligned. Literally, I think I nudged the right microphone or the right track. I think it was 30 samples.
Yeah.
And the piano, it was night and day difference. Would you agree?
No, it was really night and day. I mean, one of them was a full body piano and the other one was just kind of like a warbly
honky tonk.
Yeah, it was like a honky tonk, like a piano in a bar, you know, or something. I mean, it was really just a night and day difference between, you know, one of them was a grand, one of them was a tiny little upright, you know, somewhere, but same piano, and I mean, it's just, you know, just literally 30 samples difference can make the world of difference in something like that.
And you can't hear that stuff
in stereo.
In stereo as well. Maybe you can, because you can hear paint drying and dog whistles and stuff like that. But I can't, and it's most apparent on the low frequency stuff.
Yeah,
no, like bass guitar and kick and drums and things like that. And I was watching. There's also another video on the website, or at least a link to it, of an interview with Chris Lord-Alge, and I was watching it again the other night because he's one of my favorite mixers, and he was talking about phase aligning and phase correcting drums.
Yeah.
And then I got to mix some drums the other day from a very, very thoughtful engineer who automatically aligned everything. So when I pulled up the drums, they were some of the best recorded drums I've heard. And I keep talking about this 80-20 thing where 80% is easy to do and the other 20% is hard. The 20% is what I'm trying to, it's kind of why I'm being repetitive about some of this stuff. This is where that 20% stuff is. This is how nobody's going to be able to put their finger on what makes John's mix sound better than mine. It's the same tracks, and it could be 30 samples nudged this way for the piano, and it could be, you know, 1 millisecond nudged this way because of the room mic.
Right.
I mean, it's those little things. Yeah. So that's why, I think your title of this podcast is perfect, the most underutilized button, because it really is.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So I guess with that, I would love to hear some of your comments below the podcast. You'll have to go back to mixcoach.com and look for episode number 32 and would love to take some questions, and John's going to help me moderate some of the comments and answer some of your questions and stuff like that. So again, I just want to thank you guys for your time and for your comments and for your very thoughtful comments. I appreciate the feedback that you've given me, and I'm so glad to help. And just thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Okay, bye.
For a free download of Kevin's video called 5 Things Every Great Mixer Knows, head over to mixcoach.com/freetips.